Good afternoon and welcome to Your Book Garden Radio, a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm Tina Susetic, your host. Winter is slowly starting to lose its grip on us. We still have quite a bit of snow out there, but I feel horrible for those people in Colorado and Nebraska being affected by the floods. My heart and prayers go out to them. It's just awful what they're going through. Today, I welcome U.S. Today bestselling author Susan Tisdale. Susan and I met 1 year ago at the North Iowa Book Bash, and I have to say she is a lovely woman and one I'm happy to call my friend. And not only is she a best-selling author of Scottish historical romance with honorable and imperfect heroes and strong, feisty heroines, but she has been a huge advocate for authors and all the issues going on in the writing world. First on the show, we'll be talking about Susan's books, and then we'll talk about the frustrating, irritating issues facing authors today. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, thank you for having me here. If you hear some noises, I'm just making my afternoon tea.
Yeah, well, and I've got my tea here, too, and by the time the show's over, it's cold, so I will zap it in the microwave for probably the fifth time. It goes on and on, you know. So,
yeah.
Before we get started talking about your books, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I think my tagline says it best. Susan Tisdale, author, storyteller, cheeky wench. I'm a grandma, I'm a wife, I'm a mom. I've got four of the most perfect grandchildren God has ever set down on this planet. And I'll argue with their parents when they say that's not true. I tend to be a little, I'm the crazy grandma. You want a pony, grandma? Buy
you
a pony. Come here.
Yeah. You
I'm
know, and
it's, kind of grandma
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say,
I saw,
my grandma does let you have dessert before dinner.
Oh, I saw a bumper sticker one time on a car that said, if I'd known grandkids were this much fun, I would have had them first.
Exactly.
Because it is the best thing that was ever created, being a grandparent, in my mind anyway.
Oh, it is.
So
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, and you live in the Midwest also, like I do.
Yes.
Right?
And no, we don't have any flooding here where we're at. It's actually quite beautiful. It's last time I checked, it was 54. So you don't even
wow.
need a jacket today. I'm outside on my deck right now, barefoot, short sleeves. Because it's
you know, and people
it's
in other parts of the country
so
would be freezing.
Oh, I know. Oh. What's funny, though, 50 here is not the same as 50 degrees in California, because this time last year, I was in California on a little mini author's retreat with Catherine Levesque, and also looking at wedding venues because her son is marrying my daughter. And I froze literally to the bone just the whole time I was there. I wish I had brought my winter coat. And it was like 55, but it was so – I'm not kidding you. It was the coldest April of my life. Was the week I spent
wow.
in California last year. It was just mind-boggling. I come home, and it's the same temperature, and I'm in short sleeves and shorts, and it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. So,
I wonder if it's...
Anyway.
Well, California's not dry, is it? I mean, would it be like a dry cold kind of thing, like a dry heat, like Vegas?
Illinois?
That's weird.
You mean?
No,
Illinois
well,
is,
I when you were out
oh.
in California... I mean, when
oh,
you were out in
California,
you
it
said
it was
very
cold.
Dry
cold.
Yeah.
There was no humidity.
No, maybe that was the difference.
Could be.
I know today that I've seen people out in shorts, and because I think it's it's windy, but it's like 50. Yeah, and I don't go that far, but it sure was nice not to have to put on that winter coat. Oh my goodness.
Oh, you aren't a kidding, sister.
Oh. I feel like I've, you know, I'm like 20 pounds lighter when I went outside. I was just like, I'm free.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh,
yeah.
No parking, no gloves, no scarf, no winter boots.
Yeah. How did you get started? How did you get started writing? I read a little bit about it on your, you know, your blurb or your bio, and it's kind of
I've
interesting. I think
I've always made stories up inside my head since I was a little girl, because believe it or not, I did used to be horribly, painfully shy and introverted, and didn't have a lot of friends growing up. So I hid myself in my head to avoid some things that were happening in real life and to not feel quite so alone. I would make up, you know, scenarios and worlds and places where I had lots of friends and I wasn't quite as scared, and et cetera. And so it just took me through some really dark times in my adult life as well. And after my divorce, didn't start picking writing up again until after I married my husband, Kevin, who is absolutely perfect, and most of the time. So back in 2010, Kevin gave me a Kindle for my birthday, and he didn't realize what kind of reader I was because I've just always read, always. And if there was a reading contest in school, I was winning it. Not because I wanted to necessarily win the contest, but because I wanted to read the books. It was a really good excuse to read more books. So anyway, he didn't understand what kind of reader I was, so he attached that Kindle to his own personal credit card. And he came to me at the end of that first month, and he with this deer in the headlight look going, "Susie, we got to talk." And I'm like, "What?" He said, "Do you know you've spent almost $50 in books this month?" And I'm like, "Is that all?" So he put me on book rations. He did. He put me on a book budget. And so I was talking about it on Facebook one day. Now, keep in mind, I've never read a romance novel in my entire life. I didn't know who Julie Garwood was. I didn't know who Diana Gabaldon was. I didn't know who any of those women were because I read what my mother read. And she read, Ed McBain and Grisham and Patterson and Nora Roberts. It was always a murder mystery or a spy thriller kind of novel. She just didn't read romance. Well, being poor, I read what she read, whatever she was done with, I read. So anyway, he puts me on the book rations, and I'm complaining about it on Facebook one day, and someone says, "Susie, Kindle has free and 99-cent books. Look for those." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." So very long story short, I was on Amazon one day, and I saw this book that was a Scottish historical romance, and it was written by Lauren Wittig. And I thought for, giggles, I would try it. I'm like, it was free, wasn't going to hurt anything. So I started reading it. And from the very first sentence of the very first paragraph, I was hooked. And I could not get enough. Well, I had this story idea brewing around in my head suddenly for Scottish historical instead of my normal murder mystery and that type of thing. So I started getting up every morning at 3:30 to write. And Kevin thought I was getting up every morning to play Farmville. I wasn't going to let him think any different because I have a full-time job, right? So I would get up at 3:30 every morning. And what started the actual book was I wanted to give my mom a Kindle for her birthday because I thought she would, she was in declining health and it wasn't as easy to get to the library and yard sales. So I thought I would just get her a Kindle for her birthday. And wouldn't it be a riot if something I had written was on that Kindle when she turned it on for the first time? Oh. So I'm getting up at 3:30 every morning. I'm writing Layden's daughter. This goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And at that time, we only had one computer in the house. So Kevin found it. He said, "Hey, Susie, what is this?" So I had to come clean, and I told him what I was doing. And he thought that was pretty cool. And I said, I think there's a cord. Back then I was not a techno person at all. I just wasn't. So I told him I thought there was a cord that I could hook up from the computer to the Kindle and put the book on the Kindle that way. Well, Kevin comes back 3 days later and says, "There is no such cord. You can't do it that way. You've got to write the book and then publish it on this thing called Kindle Direct Publishing, and then you just buy it and put it on your mom's Kindle that way." And I thought, I can do that. That's not a problem. I'll just do it that way. Nobody's going to read it anyway, right? So I write this book. Now, keep in mind, I have no editor. I have no final proofer. And I don't have a cover artist because I am just writing this book for my mom. And I didn't even think about a book cover until I went to upload it. And the dashboard says, okay, it's time for your cover now. I'm like, ah, oh, crap. So I put this cover together and I published the book. And secretly, deep down, I thought, if seven people that I don't know and aren't related to me bought this book, I would feel successful. So I published it.
And how many?
Yeah, I.
And how many copies have you sold now of your books?
A lot. We're at over 500,000 copies. Well,
yeah.
That was December 9th, 2011, and by February. The first or second week of February 2012, it was number 3 at Amazon.
Wow.
And I don't know how the hell it happened. So it's just, yeah, I call it my accidental journey. And I kept thinking Amazon was going to call and say, we made a mistake. We want our money back. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, honest to God. And I kept thinking it was a mistake, Amazon would call and say they want their money back. And it was like a few months later, I had already made friends, I believe, with Catherine Levesque and at that time. And she had reached out to me on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, my God, this woman, she's a real author. She wants to be my friend. So anyway, I get an email one day, and I thought it was a joke. I thought Catherine had put somebody up to prank me, saying that they were from Amazon and needed to talk to me. I replied to something, oh, it was snarky, like, yeah, right, Kat, they're not getting their damn money back. That $78 is fine. You know, it was something stupid like that. So they did call. They didn't want their money back. They gave me a rep, and I asked, you know, so I'm selling like 450 copies of a book a day. Is that good? And he's like, oh, my God, yeah, that's really good. And I just push back this. So I just keep writing. Now I have editors and final proofers and cover artists and all that good stuff. And virtual assistants and a whole team of accountants and all that other stuff. So, yeah, that's how I get
How many books have you published? Because I in your bio, it says how many in your bio, but that says you're going to have two more released in 2017. Well, it's 2019 now. So how many...
I think it's
published?
19 or 20, something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
I lose count because I'm working on so many projects right now, and I've got some secret projects that are going on where I'm writing completely outside of my typical genre. So, and I'm hoping, I hope my readers like what I'm doing, but I've got so many secret projects. Everything was delayed 2 years ago. When Kevin had his heart attack. He's fine. He's doing great.
That
really kind of set the world on its axis, basically. And I'm still trying to catch up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had our trip
That's
to Scotland. And then we had the preemie grandbaby 3 years ago. And it's just the last 3 years has just been really weird. So,
and you got another wedding
but
coming up?
Fine. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We're so excited about this. My daughter, Debbie, is marrying Catherine Levesque's son, James. And, in fact, here in about 2 weeks, April 3rd, we leave for California
that's coming
and
up
they
fast.
Get married the 6th. Yes.
Wow. Coming up fast. Well, as I mentioned in my intro that you write Scottish historicals, and I've read three of them now, and as I was reading them, you know, you write your dialogue as they would have spoken back then, you know, the Scottish dialect and, you know, and stuff. And I was finding myself thinking when I'm not reading, I'm thinking in the Scottish dialect. And I'm like,
exactly.
Oh my gosh. And actually this morning I had to get my grandson on the bus and he's going to be 10 next month. And I said to him, what would you like for your breakfast? And he looked at me and he goes, ye? What does that mean? You're?
your.
No, I find myself going, well, you can, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. No. So now my question for you is, because I'm trying to figure out how you write this. So when you write your first manuscript, do you write it like in normal English and then do, you know, search and replace for the word no and change it to can, or do you just automatically write it in that dialect?
I just write it as I'm hearing it in my mind. And I only write one manuscript. I'm sorry. I write the book. I usually go over it once, just real quickly. Sometimes I always go back over it because there will be scenes where I say, come back to this. And that's usually where I have to, where I'm thinking I want to insert sex scene here because I don't like to, I really don't like to write them. Or I was struggling with it, and I'm not sure if I need that scene or whatever. So I write the book, I go through it once, and then that puppy's off to my editor. I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. Now, my friend Genevieve Jack, who is just, oh, my God, she's written this book called The Dragon of New Orleans that is just out of this world. She will self-edit her book 30 times before she sends it to the editor. And then when she gets it back, she does it again 30 times. I mean, she stresses over every word a heck of a lot more than I do. I just write it and I'm done. By the time the book is over with, I'm done and I want to move on to the next one.
Yeah. I had somebody that I interviewed last year, and we were talking, I said, what's you know, up for you next? And she goes, well, I got to finish the book I'm working on. She says, but she goes, I'm really excited about the next one. And then she said she had a friend who calls that the book affair. You're tired of the book you're working on and you're excited about the next one. And I thought, oh, that is clever. Yeah. I like that. And I think we all do that, you know?
The book I'm working on. Yeah, exactly. I'm always excited about whatever I'm working on at the moment. But I can't write 12,000 words a day like Catherine Levesque does. I just can't do it.
Oh,
and
I can't
either.
I like
to tease all the time. I know. I like to tease. I mean, I can. I've done it, especially when I'm meeting a deadline. I'm a procrastinating writer. When I've got that deadline, it's usually a week or two before that deadline, that hard, if I don't get it done by then, people will kill me deadline, that I write the majority of my book. I know that's just pitiful, but I've always been a procrastinator. But I like to tease Catherine, and she knows. I tell her it's the math. That's the only way you can write 12,000 words a day is math or crack or something. She's like,
I'm
just good. And she is.
I think the most I've ever written in one day is 7,000 words, and I was just like, oh, and my eyes were like, fall out of my head, please. So I can put them in some water and put them back in, you know.
I think the most I've written in one day was probably 17,000 words.
Oh, my gosh.
But again, it was a deadline, and I had to finish that book or people were going to kill me. And yes, my fingers were numb at the end of the day.
When did you start and when did you end? I mean, start at 5:30 in the morning and end at midnight?
Probably,
wow.
I can usually, if I'm in the zone, if I'm really truly in the zone, I can do about 2,500 words in an hour when I'm really truly deep in that zone, when I'm really pushing it. But usually I do about I'm going to say around 1,800 to 2,000 an hour is an average when I actually sit down and do it.
Wow, that's good. I can get it about 1,000 an hour if I'm, like you said,
so
in the
good.
Zone, you know, in the, and the cat stays.
But there are other days where it might take me all day just to write 500 words for whatever reason. Usually that's the winter time and I'm depressed and I want to be on a beach somewhere.
God, I can't wait to go camping and sit out on the deck. And, I just.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It'll be
you
have, to it.
I know. This will all be a distant memory. You have several series out. I want to find, I want to make sure we have time to talk about, the other part. So I want to talk about, your books that, your Scottish books that, that you write. And you have several series, and your newest one is about the McKellens and Randalls. And I just finished
the
book one about, Onley and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then Clan Chief.
Yes, Onley.
Connor McKellen. And one of the things that I like about this book, and then what was the other one that I read? Stealing Moira's Heart and Saving Moira's Heart. It's one of your older ones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what I really enjoyed about that book is they were not, so many historical books like that, the girl is young and she's a virgin and she's, the man knows what he wants, and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And what I really liked about Moira, I can't say it,
Moira.
She's 30 years old. She's 30 years old, which is considered old then, and she has four daughters. And I was just like, I really am like, this is refreshing, and the same with An Li, and I mean, she's young, but, when she meets Connor, she's not a virgin. She's, it was very refreshing to me to read stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there reason why you
would like, I like really strong heroines. I really, truly do.
And they are.
Yes. And sometimes the heroine has really been through hell and back in some of my books. I guess one of my most favorite books that I've written was Frederick's Queen. And how do I want to put this? I like tropes, but I don't like to stick to the trope. I like to mix things up. And I do like to take on issues, such as in Brogan's Queen, I took on alcoholism. And in that book, my heroine was a ugly, ugly drunk. And it was only with the help of her husband, which was more or less an arranged marriage, that she was able to overcome the alcoholism. And you can see the person, hints of the person she used to be before, events in her life forced her to drink. And you can just see her blossom. And I like to do that. Kaylin's Wife, that's another favorite book of mine, that whole little mini series. Because in that series, my heroine is actually the chief of her own clan. And yes, that did happen. and she's very feisty and she's a fighter, and by golly, she doesn't suffer fools lightly. And so I like to write strong heroines that have just, they know what they want. They're not afraid to say it. I also like to write heroines that have been through hell and back and are able to overcome it, because I believe there is always hope, no matter what awful, god-awful thing life has thrown at you, there is a chance to overcome it.
Yeah. Well, and in Moira's story, and she's got those four daughters, and you do have books for each one, or there will be books for each one, and
I
can't wait to read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we've got Mariotte, Asa, Muriel, and Orabilis. And those are the titles of each of the books. Those are her daughters. And I've just released Mariotte back in January or February. And it's just a very tiny little novella that is launching the entire series. So
I can't wait to read about the youngest one, because she is a little feisty character. I mean, I just loved her.
Yes.
I can't wait to see what you.
I'll give you a hint of that story. She will wear chainmail to her wedding. over a silk gown, but it's her way of protesting the stuff that has been thrown at her.
That's
going to be a fun
story.
Oh, my
God. Oh, she is just, for a little six-year-old, it's just like, I just love her. I mean, she wasn't going to put up with anybody,
Nope.
and how she helped to save,
she was
a hoot. Oh, my goodness, we've only got about 4 minutes left. I'm not even sure we're going to have time to get to the other part of it, what we wanted to talk about. We may have to do this another time
sure.
You know, get back to what's going on in the writer world, because I don't want to cut short about
the book piracy.
I have other questions for you. Yeah.
Oh, I know. You can't get it all done in an hour. It's impossible.
Yeah. So we may have to, you know, do that again, and maybe we'll have some, you know, some things solved, because you have been working really hard with this, and I want to thank you, because it's taken away from your writing time. And but you are just such a proponent of all this. But anyway, we'll do that for another time. I do have another question for you. You've written so many books, and they're all Scottish. How do you come up with the names? I mean,
there is a wonderful, wonderful website that I have bookmarked where I can go and you can search by century for names that were found in church records, documents, that type of thing. So I do search that way, and sometimes I just make them up in my head. I might see two names that look really cool, but they look cooler when you put them together. So that's pretty much how
it goes. And it seems like the women's names are more unusual than the men's. That's the sense that I got, you know, that it's like, wow, how did she come up with these names? You know, I do have a character naming book, but, you know, I don't have to come up with names from 14th century or 15th century or whenever these stories were set.
For my book, The Edge of Forever, that's actually set in, and I believe that the 17th century Italy. Yes. And I used a few real life characters and made up a story around that. And I love that book. It's very steamy compared to what I normally write. Very steamy compared to what I normally write. It is not nearly as steamy as some of the stuff that's out there, but you know, that's okay, to each his own. But this book just needed it. And because it was originally titled The King's Courtesan, and can't say why, but I had to retitle it, and I chose the Edge of Forever, and I just love, love, love that book. But that's one you literally need tissues with you, especially towards the end, because it's an ugly cry book.
Yeah, I gotta read. You know, every time I interview somebody, it's like, okay, there goes my to be read list. Again, I know. Yes. It's just like, because I've read so many good books, and, you know, we only have 90 seconds left, so we're going to have to wrap this up, and we'll definitely have to set up a time so we can talk about, you know, all those other icky issues, but this has really been fun. I've enjoyed this so much.
Me too.
And like I said, we're almost out of, where can listeners find you?
SusanTisdale.com. Just go there. All my links are there. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. All my books are available. They're wide. So Amazon, Kobo, Nook, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Google Play, everywhere. Legal sites.
Don't go to the privacy site. Really. And that's S-U-Z-A-N.
Yes, S-U-Z-A-N.
T-I-S-D-A-L-E.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. So thank you so much for being on my show today.
Thank you.
And I look forward to talking to you again. And I hope we get to meet again someday.
Oh, I hope so too.
And then, please tune in on April 26th. And I'll be talking with Regency author Linda Ray Sandy. Until then, read on, my lovelies. Take care, Susan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.